Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Chulin Daf Pei. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins on Daf Pei Omed Aleph, 21 lines from the top. It may be easier to find the beginning point by noticing the last Tosfos on the page, Dibur Hamaschil HaRishon. Opposite that, you'll notice Rabbi Yehuda's name is underlined. We will be continuing a discussion concerning the Koi. And we will see different deos regarding what is a koi. We had been discussing the koi in our last shiur in the context of kisui hadam, matnes kahuna, and oisoi ve'es benoi, and the emphasis placed there was on a koi that's the function of a union or a mating between a tayish and a tzvi, type of, let's say, goat and deer, the resultant offspring called a koi. However, there are other opinions on this matter. Omar Rav Yehuda, we have underlined him and called him number one so as to contrast him with Rav Nachman, who appears a couple lines later. Rav Yehuda says, koi beria bifnei atzmo hi. It's a separate type of creature, namely, it's not from the union of a behema and chaya, behema being domesticated and chaya undomesticated animals. Rashi points out that Rav Yehuda is of the opinion that behema and chaya do not mate and produce offspring. So he is of the opinion it's a separate type of creature. V'lo hichriu bo chachomim im min behema hi im min chayohi. And the sages have not come to a conclusion as to categorizing it either as a behema or as a chaya. There are many halachas that are dependent on this categorization. For example, we discussed this in our last shiur, matnas kahuna are given from behema, not from chaya. The din of oso vespino applies to a behema. The din of kisui hadam applies to a chaya. Chelev is usur in a behema, but mutter in a chaya. With regard to the koi, as far as Rabbi Yehuda is concerned, it won't be clear how we would categorize it. Rav Nachman Omar, a second opinion, koi ze ayil habar. Rashi says, ayil zohor hagodo bayorim, a large ram that grows in forests. The Gemara now points out that this controversy as to what a koi is actually the subject of a Tanaic controversy. We have a Tanaic source in which a number of opinions appear. As far as our markings are concerned, we have dot underlined the opinions that correspond to the Amoroyim that we just saw. Rav Yehuda, who spoke about a beria bifnei atzmo, that will be the second dot underlining you see in the source, in the upcoming source that you see in the frame. And the first opinion says Ayil Habar, that would correspond to Rav Nachman. There are other opinions, though, as you will see immediately. We say Kitanoi, the Machlokis Amoroyim, parallels a Machlokis Tanoyim. Koi ze Ayil Habar. First opinion is that the koi is a ram found in the wilds or in the forests. V'yeshomrim, another opinion, ze habo min hatayish min hatzviya. A koi is that which is the product of a union between a tayish, a goat, and a tzviya, a deer. Rabbi Yossi Omer, koi berio bifnei atzmohi. V'lo hichriu bo chachomim im min chayo, im min behema. This is similar to what we saw above under Rabbi Huda's name. The koi is a creature, a unique, a separate creature, not the product of a crossbreeding. And the chachomim have not decided whether it's a chaya or a behema. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer, min behema hi. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel is of the opinion that a koi is a type of behema, not chaya. V'shel beis doshoi hayu megadlin mehen adorim adorim. And the family of doshoi, the name of a family, used to raise herds of these creatures. Omar of Izera, Omar of Safra, Omar of Hamluna. Hani izi debola. Before going any further, we now want to take note of the new marking. We see a bow tie shape. In addition to the bow tie in the text, we have a Roman numeral number 1 to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara, also in a bow tie. If you skim down a number of lines, you will see a similar Roman numeral number 2 in a bow tie. Now, we glance at the outside margin under our Nosei Mivne heading, and you'll notice the bow tie is featured, and we've written Beis Kitei Gemara, two pieces or sections of Gemara, Shehamashutaf Lahem, common to both of these sections of Gemara, Hagdoras Izi Debola, the attempt to categorize a creature called Izi Debola. One, Kebehema O Chaya, the first piece of Gemara will deal with, is it a type of behema or chaya, and the second piece of Gemara will deal with it with respect to mahu legabi mizbeach. Can it be offered on the mizbeach? Assuming, of course, that it is a behema, then this question could be asked, because as far as the mizbeach, the offering in the temple in the Beis Hamikdash, only behemas were offered; chayas were not offered. So, on the assumption that it's a behema, the question then will arise: can it be offered as a type of sacrifice? We will also see in the Gemara triangles. And the triangles are explained here. Kushos al Rav Hamuna, Sheomar de'ez hu. These will be challenges to Rav Hamuna's contention that the Izi Debola are a type of behema or a type of goat. We will also see an appearance of a dashed triangle. At that point, the Gemara is going to establish or attempt to establish that it is a chaya. So the regular triangles are challenges to it being considered a behema, and this dashed triangle is where it's presented emphatically that, in fact, it's a chaya. Now, the Gemara. Hani izi debola, the first bow tie. Ksheros legabi mizbeach. They can be offered as a sacrifice, indicating that they are not chayos but rather behemos. Sovar lo ki ha di omer Yitzchok eser behemos mona kosov v'sulo. Rav Hamuna is of the opinion of Rav Yitzchok that the Torah enumerates 10 animals as being kosher and no more. The hani, the easy debola, midolo kochoshiv luhu bahadi chayos, since they do not appear under the section of the pasuk dealing with chayos, shma mino de'ez ninhu. It must be that they are an ez, a type of goat. Very most probably just as their name suggests. Before going further, we should glance in the Rashi underneath of the Gemara. Rashi dibur hamaschil eser behemos mona hakosuv v'heter achila. The Torah enumerates in Parshas Re'eh, in Sefer Dvorim, 10 animals that one can eat, and Rashi lists them. You can see we have little numbers. Shor, seksovim, v'seizim, ayil, tzvi, v'yachmor, v'akov, v'dishon, v'taul, v'zemer. In the Pasuk, there is a reference to shor, and there's seksovim and seizim. After that, there is a series from number 4 onwards. Those are chayos, undomesticated. So shor, ksovim, and izim are the domesticated. The rest are the undomesticated. It's pointed out right now that the easy debala don't appear under the section of the pasuk dealing with the chayos. Therefore, it must be a type of ease, a type of goat. Maskif lo Rav Acho bar Yaakov. He challenges this conclusion and says, V'emo ayol utzvi prat. The fourth and fifth animals mentioned in the pasuk are examples, are details. Kol behema, an expression that is found in that pasuk, is a klal, is a general statement. And when you have a pasuk that's structured like this, with a prat and then a klal, a specific and then a general, that's pratu klal nase klal moisif ala prat. The general, the klal, shows that we add more than that which is suggested by the specifics. And if you say that, then iko tuva, then in fact there are many other things. There are many other chayos. How do you know, therefore, that it is a type of A's? Maybe it's a type of chaya that's not mentioned. The Gemara answers, Im Kain, if we were to approach this posuk as a prat uklal, thereby incorporating or including more kinds of animals, Kolhani prati lomali, why did the posuk trouble itself with specifying all of the specific examples that it does? The fact that the pasuk specifies these examples, it's telling us that only these are the animals one can eat and not anything else. Omale, another challenge. Maskif lo, Rav Acho, Braid, Rav Iko, Vidilma, Mino, Da'ako, Ninu. Maybe the Iza Dabola is a type of Ako, which is a Chaya, and we found that in the pasuk as number 7. Omale, Rav Acho Brei, the Rav of Rav Ashi, the Amri Law, another version as far as the names are concerned. Rav Acho Brei, the Rav Avio, the Rav Ashi, Dilma, Mino, the Tau, O Mino, the Zemer, Ninu. Maybe the Izi the Bola are a type of Tau, which we also saw as number 9 in the Pasuk, or a Zemer, which we saw as number 10 in the Pasuk. So all of these so far are challenging the conclusion that the Izi Dabola are a type of A's, a type of goat, which is a behema. Omale Rav Honon l'Rav Ashi. Amemar Shori Tarbayu. Amemar went so far as allowing the chelev of these of the Izi Dabola. That shows that he was of a certainty that it was a type, that the Izi Dabola are chayos. Otherwise, he wouldn't have allowed the chelev. The chelev of a behema carries with it a severe penalty, the kores penalty, insofar as it is forbidden. The fact that Amemar was willing to eat the chelev found in the chelev being certain types of membrane and fats found around different internal organs, the fact that he was going to eat it shows us that he considered the Izi Dabola a definite chaya. Bo mine abo bre derav minyomin barchio me ravhuna barchio. Hani Izi Dabola mahu lugabi mizbeach. Here we have again a piece of Gemara that's asking, as opposed to the Roman numeral number 1, where Rav Hamuna said that the Izi Dabola are certainly behemos. Here the question is raised, are they behemos? Are they fit for the Mizbeach? Omar le, ad kan lo pligi, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbonan ela b'shor habar. Till now, there is a machlokas tanoim surrounding the creature called shor habar. We have a bracketed section. You can see by the bracket length indicated to the left-hand side of the Gemara, a vertical dash dotted line, that this bracketed section lasts 3 lines. And the brackets are here for initial skipping purposes in order to make the reading smoother. The Gemara in responding to the question of the easy debola, are they fit for the Mizbeach, it answers that till now there's a machlokus concerning the shor habar, skipping, avol hani, you notice how we're reading right after the brackets, avol hani, the easy debola divrei hakol, mino the eis ninu. Everyone would agree that it's a type of goat. Now let's reread the Gemara with the bracketed section. The question had been asked, easy debola, are they fit for the Mizbeach? Rav Huna answered that there is a controversy surrounding a different creature called Shor Habar. Tisnan, Shor Habar, min behema hu. In this brief Tanaic source, we see two opinions. The first opinion says that the Shor Habar is a type of behema. Rav Yossi Omer, min chaya. It's a type of undomesticated animal. The Rabbonan Savri, the Rabbonan hold, the Rabbonan who say it's a type of behema, they say, mi de mitargeminon turbola. From the fact that the targum of this, of the word, is from the fact that the targum of the word tau. Now, tau was found in the posuk dealing with the types of animals that one is allowed to eat. We saw it listed as number 9. From the fact that the targum of the word tau is turbala. Turbala is made of, it's really a compound word. You can see the word tur is a shor. The shor in the shin in Hebrew turns to a tuf in Aramaic. So, and it's called tur bala, like the word bala. And the Rashi explains that tur bala is shor halavonon. It's like we saw before with the easy, the bala. Rashi had mentioned on the first wide line under the Gemara, that's easy halavonon. And Rashi explained that the word bala there had to do with a forest, something that grows in the wilds. And you find in the Tanakh the word levanon is a reference to the to trees, like in the case of a forest. So from the fact that the targum of the tau is turbala, so we see that the shor habar is a type of behema, mino de behema hu. I think emphasis should be placed on the fact that it's referred to as a tur, is a shor. Shor is a type of behema. Rav Yossi Omer, midika choshiv le bahadechayos, from the fact that the tau, it's true the targum is turbala, but it's found in the context of chayos, in that pasuk that we cited before, it was number 9, preceding it and after it are also chayos, so mino de chaya hu. It must be a type of undomesticated animal. So we have seen that the shor habar is the subject of controversy. Avol, hani, the easy debola, divrei hakol, mino de eiz ninu. Everyone will agree it's a type of goat. From the fact that it's not listed amongst the chayos, therefore, it's a type of goat, and it would be fit for the Mizbeach. Maskiflo Rav Acho Braid Rav Iko, Vidilmo Mina Da Akoi Ninhu. Similar to the Gemara above, we see the same objection raised. You have Rav Acho, Braid Rav Iko. We had him above as well with the same objection when we were discussing this issue above. He says, maybe it's a type of Akko. Amale Ravino Ravashi, Vidilma Mina de Tau, Omina de Zemer Ninhu. This type of objection we saw as well above in the Gemara with the same names. We saw above a suggestion made just like this, that it's maybe it's a type of Tau or Zemer. Omar le Rav Chonon le Rav Ashi, Amemar Shori Tarbaihu. In the previous sukhi as well, we saw it with the dashed triangle, the same type of conclusion, citing Amemar's practice of allowing the fats of the easy debola, indicating that it is a certain chaya. Ketzad, hashochet v'chulei. The Gemara at this point is going to make a general observation. In our Mishnah, as you may recall, we had many examples of oso vespino, when it applies. We have a topic heading here under the nosei in the outside margin, hochocha, proof, shemishnosenu, delo, k'Rabbi Shimon, that our Mishnah does not conform to the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. Lefiha Mishnah, it comes out according to our Mishnah, shchita she'ena ruya, shmo shchita. A slaughtering that does not result in the meat being allowed to be eaten. That's called a shchita she'ena ruya. Or more accurately, shchita she'ena ruya l'achila. Nevertheless, the Mishnah views it as a legitimate shchita. We should point out that the din of oso vespino, the pasuk says that oso vespino lo tishchatu biyom echad. One is not allowed to shecht an oso vespino, an animal and its offspring, on the same day. That is assuming that the way you are killing them is through shchita. If, however, you simply kill an animal, let's say shoot the animal, then the din of oso vespino does not apply. The Torah is not warning against killing the two the same day. It's warning against shechting the two the same day. How do we look at a shchita where the action of shchita is done, but it doesn't result in the animal being allowed to be eaten? This is a machlokas. Our Mishnah holds shchita she'ena ruya is nevertheless categorized as shchita. According to Rabbi Shimon, shchita she'ena ruya is not categorized as shchita. Our Gemara will open up by making a long point, and this is indicated by the nun that you see encircled to the immediate right-hand side of Gemara text, nun standing for nekuda, a point, and a descending vertical dashed line that continues down Omid Beis, a little less than halfway down. We have numbers that correspond to three different sections of the Mishnah. At each point, the Gemara will point out how our Mishnah does not conform to Rabbi Shimon. The word michti, you'll notice, is double underlined to indicate the point at which the Gemara starts its analysis regarding each section. Omar, turning now to the Gemara of Oshaya, Kula Masnisen Delo K'Rabbi Shimon. Our Mishnah, the entire Mishnah, does not follow Rabbi Shimon. Mimai, from where do you see that? Midakotoni, from the fact that the Mishnah teaches the following. And, as usual, we have a frame around the section that's of Tanaic origin. Kochim bachutz, if you shechted a parent and offspring animal that were dedicated as sacrifices, but you shechted them, you slaughtered them outside the Beis HaMikdash. Harishon chayev kores, ushneim psulin, ushneim soifkin esor aboyim. Slaughtering outside the Beis HaMikdash, the slaughtering of a sacrifice outside, carries with it a kores penalty. That's called shchute chutz. It should be pointed out that the violation of shchute chutz applies only to something that otherwise could have been brought inside the Beis HaMikdash. The first animal, which happens to be a sacrifice, carries with it the kores penalty because he did a korban outside. Both animals are unacceptable. The second animal is also unacceptable. It's also a sacrifice that was shechted outside the Beis HaMikdash. However, it does not carry with it a kores penalty because, being that the first one was the parent or the offspring, the second one could not have been brought that day. And you happen to shecht it that very day outside the Beis HaMikdash. it's pusel, it cannot be eaten, and it's certainly not fit. Ushneim soim hazarboim, both carrying with them the penalty of lashing. Michti. Shaminon le the Rebbe Shimon, the Omar Shchita Shein Rilo Shema Shchita. Littlemore now will analyze that we know, according to Rebbe Shimon, that a Shchita that doesn't result in a heter achila, in the allowance to eat of it, is not categorized as Shchita. Kamo, the first animal, Miktal Katle, as far as Rebbe Shimon is concerned, the fact that you did a kotshim bachutz is the equivalent of killing the animal or shooting it. It's not viewed even as a shechita. If that be the case, so it doesn't come under the category of oso vespino. As we said earlier in our introduction, oso vespino is a prohibition only when you're dealing with shechita as a means of killing. But since the first animal here was kotshim bachutz, we are viewing it as a, according to Rabbi Shimon, of course, we're looking at it as a simple killing of the animal. Therefore, the offspring, or the parent, whichever way, the second animal is something that could have been brought in the Beis HaMikdash. Also, Lesmo tells me that I can't shecht mother and offspring on the same day, but if the first one wasn't shecht, it wasn't slaughtered, was simply murdered, killed, the second one would have been fit to be brought in the Beis HaMikdash. That's what this means. Sheini miskabel b'fnimhu. Therefore, kores nami l'chayev. There should have been a kores penalty for the second one as well. And yet the Mishnah doesn't say that. The reason the Mishnah doesn't say that is because the Mishnah views the first one to have been shechted. Therefore, the second one could not have been brought in the Beis HaMikdash, and therefore the second one is not a candidate to have been brought inside, and therefore it's not liable to the prohibition of Shchut Echutz with a Kores penalty. Number two, Chulin Bifnim, this too was taught in the Mishnah, two animals, a parent and offspring, non-sanctified, in other words, common or chulin animals, shechted inside the Beis HaMikdash. This is called chulin ba'azorah. Shnehem psulim, both are unfit to be eaten. Vasheni sofeg es ho'arboyim. The second one, being that it's the parent or offspring shechted on the same day, it is the one that carries with it a penalty of lashes. Michti, again, we analyze in view of Shitas Rabbi Shimon. Shaminun le Rabbi Shimon de Amar Shchita Shein Ruya lo Shma Shchita. We know Rabbi Shimon to hold that a Shchita that doesn't result in a Heter Achila is not considered a Shchita. Kamo Mikta Katle, the first one that was done here was a Chulin Ba'azara. Chulin Ba'azara is something that you're not allowed to eat. Therefore, as far as Rabbi Shimon is concerned, it would be considered simply killed, not shechted. Sheni, amai sofeg es harboim. Why would there be a penalty of lashing? Sofeg es harboim is the penalty of lashing for the shechting of the second one. After all, the second one is not coming on the heels of a shechita of its parent or offspring, whichever case. Number three. Kotshim bifnim, two animals, both sacrifices. You shechted both. It's both of them, of course, parent and offspring. You shechted them on the same day in the Azorah. Horishon kosher upoter vasheni soifig es raboim upasol. Michti. Once again, we look into this. Shaminu lerv shimon domar shchita sheni riyu lo shma shchita. A shchita that doesn't result in a heter achila is not called shchita. Shchitas kotshim nami, believe it or not, the slaughtering of a sacrifice is also shchita sheneruya hi. Why? Why do you call it that? The chokama de lozorik dam lo mishteri basar. When it comes to sacrifices as opposed to common meat, as long as the blood has not been applied to the Mizbeach, that's called Zrikas Adam, as long as the blood hasn't been sprinkled or applied to the Mizbeach, the meat is not allowed. So the act of Shechita per se, when it comes to sacrifices, is a Shechita She'eino Ruya. Therefore, there is no prohibition regarding the shechting of the second animal. Sheni amai soifig esra boyim upasul. Why do you say that for shechting the second animal, as was reflected in the quote above, is there a penalty of malkos and it's considered unfit as a sacrifice? Why do you say all of that if this were according to Rabbi Shimon? Elo shmamino delok Rabbi Shimon. So we therefore conclude that our Mishnah does not conform to Rabbi Shimon. The Gemara now says, in fact, all of that which we said is really obvious. Pshita dehachi isa. It's obvious that this is the way it is. In other words, that our Mishnah is not like Rabbi Shimon. What's the chiddush over here? What is Rav Hoshaya, who began this long point, what is he revealing to us that we couldn't have figured out on our own? The Gemara answers, focusing on case 3, or citation 3 above, Shechitas Kochim it's the Richa Lei. The case of the sacrificing of the slaughtering of sacrifices has in it a novel point. We should say beforehand that we have a long answer marking that you can see to the immediate right-hand side of the Mara text, and then circled tough with a vertical dashed line, indicating that all of these lines form the answer. We need Rav Hoshaya's observation for the third citation, namely the slaughtering of sacrifices. Sagudai v'chamina, without Rav Hoshaya, I would have thought. Now, notice we have a phrase marking that encompasses three lines of Gemara, singular quotation marks. I would have thought as follows. Shechitas kochim, shechita ruyahi, da inochar v'zorek dam, lo mishteri basar, v'chi shochit, mishteri basar, v'shechita ruyahi. Now, going over this again. I would have thought that the slaughtering of sacrifices is considered a shechita horu'uya, is considered a shechita that's fit, meaning that it results in the eating of the animal. And we would say this because in contrast with, let us say, you piercing the animal. Imagine you took a sacrifice and simply pierced its neck or punctured its heart, and then took its blood and sprinkled it on the Mizbeach. It would not have resulted in the animal being allowed to be eaten, but if you shecht it and then sprinkle the blood, it does become fit for eating. So on those grounds, in other words, in contrast with nechira, with simple puncturing, we see that shechita does result in its eventual being able to be eaten. So I would have thought that that's enough to categorize it as a shechita horu'uya. And therefore, case number 3 in the Mishnah could have, in fact, been in conformity with Rabbi Shimon. Komash Molon, this is what Rabbi Hoshaya is telling us, that when it comes to Shechitas Kochim, as far as Rabbi Shimon is concerned, is not considered a Shechita Horu'uya. The Gemara asks a new question regarding the second animal that was a sacrifice, after which its parent or offspring was shechted as well in the Azara. That was the third case we had above. Two animals, both sacrifices, one mother, one offspring. Regarding the second one, we said above, according to our Mishnah, that the slaughtering of the second one results in Malkos because of the violation of Oisoi v'Espenoi. V'lilki nami mishum lav demechuser zman. Why is there not an additional set of Malkos, an additional set of lashing, for violating the offering of a sacrifice prematurely? After all, the din of Oso Vespino states, don't shecht mother and offspring on the same day. There is no problem in having them shechted on two separate days. so that on day one you shecht one of them, the next day you could have shechted the other. The fact that you prematurely shechted the second one on the same day, that is a function that is described as mechuser zman, lacking in time. You didn't wait long enough. So why is that not accounted for as responsible for an additional set of malkos? The sanya, the source, serves as a, the source contains with it the issue relevant to mechuser zman. Minayin l'kol apsulim shebeshor v'shebeset shehu below yerotzeh. From where do we know that all types of oxen and sheep that are not fit for the mizbeach come under the heading of lo yerotzeh, unacceptable? And this is, the source is attempting to present another example of a negative command. Now, the words taking something that's not fit to be offered and going ahead and offering it, one is in violation of this concept called lo yerotzeh, literally not acceptable. Talmud Lomar, the pasuk says v'shor v'seh soro v'kalut chuli limeid al hapsulim shebeshor v'shebeseh. This pasuk teaches us concerning those kinds of shor and seh that are unfit, shehu below yerotzeh. This pasuk, which is found in Vayikra, Perek Chav Beis, pasuk Chav Gimel, reads as follows, and you can see how we've included this on the side of the Gemara. B'shor v'seh, sorua v'kalut, nedava ta'aseh oisoi, l'neider lo yerotzeh. L'neider lo yerotzeh indicates that it's not fit as a sacrifice on the Mizbeach. So the conclusion of the pasuk is lo yerotzeh. And the brisa itself that we read concludes by saying that anything that's posel is and is offered anyway, he is in violation of this negative command lo yerotzeh. So why is this not mentioned also? After all, we're offering something. Since you shechted the mother or the offspring on that day, you can't shecht the other one as well, making a situation of mechuser zman, missing or lacking in time. The Gemara answers, ki kochoshiv, the Mishnah, when it mentions offenses, lavi de oisa vesbeno, lavi nuchroi lo kochoshiv. Our Mishnah is interested in focusing on the violations of oso vesbeno, and not nuchroi, means foreign or extraneous, external negative commands. The Gemara asks, is that really so? Veloi? Is it really so that the Mishnah is limited to lavim of oisov esbeno? V'ha kodshim b'chutz, de lavi nuchroi ninu v'kochashiv. The violation of slaughtering sacrifices outside the Beis HaMikdash, being that that's a negative command, the Mishnah mentions that as well, even though it's not oisov esbenoi, it's a separate isser of kochim bachutz, and the Mishnah mentions it, dekotoni. This is a quote from our Mishnah, kochim bachutz, he shechted two animals, both sacrifices, outside the Beis HaMikdash, horishon chayav kores, ushneihem soifkin esar boyim, and both of them result in lashings. For both of them, one receives lashings. Bishlamo sheni mishum labdos of esbeno. It's the second one is clearly lashings because of that violation of osov esbeno. Lo rishon amai soifek. The first one, the Mishnah mentions both generate lashings. Why the first one? Lav mishum, isn't it because of lav deshute chutz, the violation of slaughtering sacrifices outside the Beis HaMikdash, which has nothing to do with Oso Vespino, and yet it's mentioned. So why then is the lav of Mechuser Zman not alluded to in the Mishnah? The Gemara answers, Kol hecha deleko lav de Oso Vespinoi, choshiv lavi nuchroi. Where you have an animal that does not carry with it the violation of osav espino, for example, the first one that shechted, the first of the two, then an outside and extraneous lav will be mentioned. However, v'chol hecho di'iko lav the osav espino, for example, the case of the kochim bifnim, the second one carries with it already a penalty of osav espino. Therefore, regarding that second animal, we're lo choshiv lavi nuchroi. Extraneous or additional lavim are not mentioned. And therefore, the lav of mechusar zman, although it may apply, it's not mentioned as a source of lashing. Rabbi Zeira Omar. Rabbi Zeira has a different approach as to the question regarding why is the lav of mechusar zman not accounted for in the Mishnah as a source of the lashing penalty. He says, Hanoch lemechusar zman, leave aside the issue of lacking of time of mechusar zman, da hakosov niskoi la'aseh. The pasuk removes it from the realm of a negative command and categorizes it as a positive command, and puts it into the category of positive commands, and positive commands do not carry with it a penalty of lashing. The Omar Kro, my taimo, what is his basis for saying that? The Omar Kro, because the Pasuk says, Miyoyim Hashmini Vaholo Yerotse. From the eighth day onwards of the animal's life, it shall be offered. Now, this is found in Vayikra Chof Beis, Pasuk Chof Zayin. In that Pasuk, it had earlier said, Shor o kesev o eiz ki voleid bo yashivas yomim tachas imoi. For the first 7 days of the animal's life, it is to be with its mother. Miyoyim umiyom hashmini v'holo yerotze l'korban yishel Hashem. And from the eighth day onwards, it is fit to be brought as a korban. That pasuk is of a positive spirit, namely, bring it from the eighth day on. The first 7 days of its life, it also is a form of mechusar zman. It's too young, it's too early to be brought. It's lacking the proper time. So since the issue of lacking of proper time is dealt with by the Torah in a positive sense, miyom hashmini v'lo yerotzeh, we continue reading in the Gemara, Miyom Hashmini in, Meikora Loi. From the eighth day on, it is fit. Prior to that, it's not. So the prior is in effect a negative aspect, a negative command. However, Lav Habo Michlal Asei equals Asei. That which is negative in nature, but it's derived as a result of an inference from the positive, as is the case here. The negative is viewed as a positive. Once again, that which is negative but is derived from inferring from the positive, even though in effect it's negative, we say do not bring it during the first 7 days, but that is derived from the inference from the positive. So as a halachic categories are concerned, this negative is viewed as a positive, and therefore it does not carry with it malchus. The Gemara asks a question that lasts a few lines. You can see we have a long question marking. V'ho miboya lei l'chreb avturiki. I need this posuk for Rav Avturiki's teaching, and not to tell me that mechusar zman is an asay, a positive. The Rav Avturiki Rami. Rav Avturiki raises a seeming contradiction in the psukim. Ksiv, it says on the one hand, Vohoya shivas yomim tachas imo. That was the posuk that we cited just before. Vayikra, chof beis, posuk chof zayin, which we have included also on the side of the Gemara for easy reference. This part of the posuk, which says, for 7 days it shall be with its mother, ha laila chazi, but the night following the seventh day, it would seem to be fit as a korban. Uksiv, but the same pasuk goes on to say, miyoyim hashmini v'holo yerotzeh. From the eighth day onwards, it's fit. And we can infer from this, miyom ha'shmini v'ala'in, from the eighth day onwards, yes, laila lo, but that night that precedes the eighth day, or alternatively, the night that follows the seventh day, lo, it's not fit. Compare the dashed underlines. We saw the first dash underline was halayla chazi, that night following the seventh day it's fit. Here we have the description of that same night as saying not fit. Contradiction. Hal ketzad, laila likedusha yoim lahartza. The resolution of this is that the night time, the night after the seventh day, is fit for dedicating the animal. Once it completes 7 days of life since its birth, and night sets in, it's mutter lahakdish, it's mutter to sanctify it. However, you will have to wait to the daytime, the eighth day, for the actual offering. So what we have here is the use of the pasuk in Vayikrachov Beis, pasuk of Zion, to teach me this point, that the night is fit for sanctifying and the day for its being offered. So the pasuk is not here to tell me that mechusar zman is an asay. That being said, we have a question on Rabbi Zeira's approach. The Gemara answers, ksiv kra achrina. There's another pasuk that says, Kain tase l'shorecha, l'tzonecha, and there's a girsa on the inside of the page, inside margin, Shivas yomim ye'im imo, vayom hashmini titno li. From that posuk, we see the additional reference to mechusar zman. So we have one posuk serves as a source, the source of Rav Avtorikis din, and the other posuk serving as the basis of declaring that which Rabbi Zeira said, that lav, the mechusar zman, is a lav habo michlal asay. And therefore, it does not carry with it a penalty of malchus. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.